In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Dearly beloved, I pray that God, working through his word before us today, will give you not only an increase of faith, but also an increase of great peace and patience and calmness of heart and mind, even and especially in the midst of all the various challenges before us. I commend to you that psalm for today, which serves as quite a wonderful summary of the gospel today. It seems to be the way with God that he would plant one of the most important words in the least likely place. For the words of the second half of the fourth verse of the second chapter of the prophet Habakkuk end up not only being quoted in the New Testament three times, Romans, Galatians, Hebrews, but that these words form the main theme of St. Paul's entire epistle to the Romans, as well as the heart of Martin Luther's awakening, the righteous or the just shall live by faith. Now this, of course, is the key to the Lutheran Reformation, which we will celebrate for the 499th time at the end of this month. But it is the key to the entire gospel itself. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, writes St. Paul, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith, for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. Faith. Faith is essentially trust. But of course, the main issue is in the object of your faith. In what or in whom does your faith rest? For a friend or a coworker might say to you in some difficult circumstance, just have faith. Often these words mean little more than a blind faith, a hunch or a hope that things may work out okay, maybe. But when the Bible talks about faith, it is not faith in maybe, but faith in the sure and firm promises and actions and works of God. This, of course, applies first and foremost of all to the whole question of salvation. By faith, you are saved. But it's not just that you have faith that saves you, as if faith were some meritorious work or a magic secret password to get into heaven. You're saved by faith in the promises and the work of God. As St. Paul said it today, faith in the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Saving faith is in Christ, in God's promise of salvation worked out in the holy life, suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus, his Son, our Savior, our Lord. Jesus is the center and the content of saving faith because of what he has done for the world, for us, for you. As we're saying about the celebration of the Reformation, it's still all about Jesus. Now, having said that, this is the gospel of the Lord. We, with the apostles of the Lord in today's gospel, may sometimes be concerned about the strength or the weakness of our faith. When Jesus told them that they were to endlessly forgive their brother, the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. Like, we don't think we can do it. But that's not the issue. That is the size or the weight of your faith. If you had faith like a little itty-bitty grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. The point is not the amount of faith. And why is that? It is because, as we said, it's not the faith itself that saves, but the content of faith, that which the hand of faith grasps. It's not your faith that uproots trees and moves mountains. It's God who can do and has done that. Do you believe then that God can bring answers and mighty deliverance to you when it seems the future is impossible? Let's look at this prophet Habakkuk. You see a picture of a marble statue on the front page of your ordo. It's a statue of Habakkuk. And what details do you notice? You might notice that he appears to be bald. Some have called this statue a pumpkin head. But the most important detail is that he's standing. This is our first clue as to what it means to live by faith. The prophet was complaining to God in his fear of what was all around him. And it sounds so much like the front page of our newspapers today. Destruction and violence are before me. Strife and contention arise. Boy, does it. It seems that God's punishment is coming from within his own people as the law is paralyzed, that is, it's ignored and not proclaimed, so that there's no justice for anyone. And secondly, this is followed by the further threat from the surrounding nations. The wicked surround the righteous, so justice goes forth perverted. In reading this cry for help, you can think of your own experiences of things that challenge or even frighten you. It may be a threat to your own health or even the fear of death. Beyond that, I couldn't read this and I couldn't help but think of our current situation in our country with the upcoming presidential election. There's so many people on both sides that are very, very angry with and critical of those on the other side. Many people, including myself, cannot see any very positive outcome or future for our nation, no matter which side wins. What to do? Shall we join in the anger? May be tempted. Shall we despair over our fears of what may be coming? Remember the picture of that prophet Habakkuk. He had the right answer, the answer of faith, when he said, I will take my stand at my watchpost and station myself on the tower. He doesn't mean I'll take my stand to force you to come to my position. No, that's not what he's taken up on the watchtower for. That's what this marble statue depicts. I will look out to see, he says. To see what? To see what he, the Lord, will say to me. He may have prayed what we prayed in today's psalm. For God alone my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation. We're, of course, not to trust in anything or anyone, be they of high or low estate. For in the end, as the psalm said, all princes, even candidates for office, are but a breath, a delusion. In the balances they go up, they are altogether lighter than a breath. The increase of faith the apostles were looking for, the faith that you have, by the work of the Holy Spirit through God's word and sacraments, by his Spirit, that faith expresses itself most of the time, the prophet says, in waiting in silence. Waiting for what? Waiting for the Lord's word and his deliverance, for him to act. Your hope is trusting in God's healing and deliverance from illness and health. In many and various ways, you may have experienced God's deliverance and even healing in small or large ways in your life. Even our fear of death, however, is calmed as we wait in silence for that deliverance from pain and fear, the gentle sleep of being carried by God's angels into the joy of his presence. In a similar spirit, you can vote next month. In fact, you should. But faith is greater as it learns to wait for God's help, his arrangement of events, his sure and certain promises of peace, patience, and endurance, even in the face of the increasing persecution or difficulty of making the Christian confession in our world today. The righteous shall live by faith. You who are baptized into Christ, you who believe in Christ, are the righteous ones because God has made you to be righteous, one of his own dear children. You, the righteous, he says, shall live, not die. You shall live even in the face of death, much less anything else. You shall live through the threat of death, which Jesus' resurrection has turned to be but the gate of heaven. That's the truth. Trusting in God's work, God's word, God's promise to you, you shall live. And as for what happens or will happen in the near future, faith believes, for still the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.